The Williamstown Theater Festival's 2015 season, the 61st season for the Tony Award-winning theater company, and the first under artistic director, Mandy Greenfield, gets underway June 30th. The season runs through August 23rd with a main stage lineup that includes a world premiere production of Off the Main Road, featuring Golden Globe and Emmy Award winner Kira Sedgwick, the world premiere of Paradise Blue, directed by Tony Award winner Ruben Santiago Hudson, and an invigorating new look at Eugene O'Neill's A Moon for the Misbegotten, featuring six-time Tony Award winner Audra McDonald and Tony Award nominee Will Swenson. I could stop there, but that would not be telling the whole story. How about the Nico stage? Their season kicks off July 1st. And includes the world premiere of Daniel Goldfarb's Legacy, starring Jessica Hecht, one of my favorite humans in the world, and Eric Bogosian, who was just on our program talking about this amazing show. The American premiere of Cary Perloff's Kinship, starring Emmy, Grammy, and Tony Award winner Cynthia Nixon. The world premiere of the musical Unknown Soldier, and the American premiere of British plays Chewing Gum Dreams, and An Intervention. Did I miss anything in there? Okay. All right. I was wondering if I got any. Oh, there's been a casting change. Okay, good. Before coming to Williamstown, Mandy Greenfield was the artistic producer of the Manhattan Theater Club. It is a delight to welcome her to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a delight to be here.
Great pleasure to have you on the program. I find this fascinating because really, I think it was December 2013, they made the announcement that you were going to be the new artistic director. And now, in June of 2015, we're finally getting to see what you've got for us. And even though we say, oh, you're the new artistic director, you've been doing the job for a little while.
I actually started in September of last year, in the fall of 2014, which was just shy of about 10 months since the announcement that you reference in late 13. And yeah, we've been busy I've been busy putting the season together, working with the incredible staff of the festival to kind of bring us to this moment where all of the artists and all of the work that's brought us to this moment converges as we bring it to life on stage for the first time.
So if I'm... get mad at me if I'm being too idealistic here, but... it seems to me cool because what I noticed.
I'm very angry right now.
Most people are at this point. They're just looking at their watches, trying to get out.
Very infuriating character.
Presence, yes. So what I find fascinating is that of course, it would seem, especially in your first season, but as seasons go on, that you're going to tap into your network of people, the people that you know, the people that you've worked with, the people that you trust and that you like and that you feel have great work to do. What I find fascinating about that is that seems to be, in many cases, there are many overlapping circles to those people who are and have been at Williamstown for years and years.
Absolutely.
And years.
I mean, it really does go to, I think, the truth that the theater community is small. It's an intimate group of people, and we are always all working together, in this region, across the country, trying to make great work in whatever way we can, wherever we can. And I think the Williamstown Theater Festival is a really interesting institution for a number of reasons. It's been a place that so many artists grew up at, with, and around, and have come back to summer after summer after summer at every stage in their career. When they were kids, cutting their teeth, training, once they'd sort of hit the stride of their career. And, you know, these luminaries who, you know, can choose to do anything, anytime, any place, choose to return. Because I think that there's something in the process of making work at the Williamstown Theater Festival that's extremely invigorating for theater artists. And I think sometimes also just being outside of New York City and able to free themselves in the beauty and splendor, you know, of the Berkshires and surrounded by so many of their contemporaries and their collaborators has a very freeing and fun spirit to it that keeps them coming back. And people go where the good work is, right? Where there's great material and great people to make it with, they'll go.
So what was your knowledge / assessment of Williamstown before coming here as the artistic director?
Well, I mean, certainly, you know, as a young person entering the professional arena, Williamstown had this kind of mythological stature, you know. Right. I mean, it's a place where, you know, all roads for so many people lead back to the Williamstown Theater Festival. And so it was immediately a place that I understood to be a kind of mecca for great artists as soon as I kind of entered the professional arena. And I actually started coming here to see plays as a sort of young theater professional my first year out of college. So I've been coming for years and years. And again, because of that sort of, you know, two-way street between Williamstown and the New York theater scene, so many artists going back and forth. I've been up so many times to see the work and to, you know, enjoy what goes on up here. So I've really been more of an audience member than anything over the past many years.
Would you say this is a dream job for you?
Sure. I mean, you know, it's a dream to be able to make great theater in an environment that is spectacular and, you know, equally fun as it is ambitious and successful. And to do it surrounded by people who really are so focused on making a great piece of theater solely and exclusively, it's dazzling.
Because many would think, if they looked 2-3 years ago at your career, that you would rise within the ranks of the Manhattan Theater Company. So then this job comes along and says, oh, well, maybe this is like something I can't say no to.
I had a great experience at the Manhattan Theater Club. I think it's an incredible organization and an amazing institution. And I was so thrilled to have spent the decade there that I did. And in my work as artistic producer in particular, I you know, really enjoyed the collaboration with Lynn Meadow and Barry Grove and that entire team and the artists that we worked with. And, you know, when an opportunity like this comes along and the opportunity to face new challenges and tear a new path and make new work presents itself, it feels healthy and fun to embrace it. No one can predict, you know, at any moment, what fantastic opportunities come along, and this one did, and I felt very lucky for it.
When it comes to putting together a season, how much research do you do going into that? I mean, obviously you have some idea of what they put on in the past, as you say, from years being an audience member. But what goes into saying, okay, this is how I want to be true to what Williamstown has been and will be, plus also forge my path and put a mark on the season?
It's a great question. You know, I think that hopefully the answer to which lies in the choices themselves. You know, in the, for example, world premiere William Inge play, you know, the Williamstown Theater Festival has a 61-year production history of, you know, which includes some of the most muscular and interesting revivals of kind of great works of 20th century American dramatic literature, and many Inge inclusive in that,
yes.
Right? And the idea of doing a world premiere Inge in and of itself, very cool, except that in fact, why I picked it isn't for its facts, it's actually for what's on the page. It's a stunning new play, a beautiful, engaging, complicated piece of writing. And very happily, it is also a really appropriate response for an incoming artistic director with a very pronounced background in new work to be able to look backward at the history of the festival, see the Inge, but at the same time look forward and look forward in a way that is true to who I am and true to what my background is, which is new work. So, you know, I think each of the choices, our approach to doing Moon for the Misbegotten, I think kind of embodies that same spirit, right? O'Neill, A Moon for the Misbegotten, arguably, you know, one of, if not the greatest works of the American dramatic canon, and one that has appeared on the Williamstown Theater Festival stage, doing it in a way, an approach to putting it together that sort of opens up the text and sort of allows audiences in 2015 to experience it anew, feels true to, you know, who we are and who we have been and who we will be down the road.
And When does the casting come into that? So if you say, all right, well, we're going to do this new William Ingram, and not only that, but we can get Kara Sedgwick. So is that, is sometimes my understanding is that it's contingent on that of, oh, well, we want this person is attached to it, we want them to come. Or in this case, was it, oh, this is the work and this would be the perfect person for it?
I will admit that this season came together in a very pure way. The actors who are on these stages are the actors who are the best fits for this material,
right,
in each instance. They are actors who met the material, fell in love with the material, and committed to the material. And, you know, it's been thrilling, actually, to see the sort of courage and commitment of these actors, you know, attacking these you know, wonderful new plays or old plays being done anew or world premiere plays by great writers. It was a very pure process. And, you know, as a not-for-profit theater company, you know, you want to hold on to as much of that purity as you can, you know, in a very difficult climate for, you know, arts to find their way.
In that vein of arts to find their way, is there an idea always or an idea in special cases that these are shows that have life that can go to Broadway? We certainly have seen it in past Williamstown productions just on this past Broadway season with The Visit, with Elephant Man and Renee Fleming's
Living on Love.
Living on Love. So that's, I mean, that's an impressive resume. It would seem to me that's something you want to continue. Or can't you think about it like that?
You know, I think it's not quite the way we think about it. I think that, you know, writers, playwrights in particular, but also directors and actors, they always want their work seen by as wide and broad and diverse an audience,
sure,
as possible. And so, you know, the idea of any of these plays having a continued life, whether it's at another regional theater, a not-for-profit off-Broadway theater in New York City, a commercial Broadway run in, you know, on Broadway, I think the end game is to get the art right. And if you get the art right, then yes, of course, you want to push it out. You want it to be seen in London and in California and in Chicago and all over the country and all over the world in whatever way you can bring that art to the people, right? But I think that the order in which we ask and answer these questions isn't always, you know, reverse engineered. It's usually, and in this case, it is very much being engineered to be right at Williamstown Theater Festival, born and made at the Williamstown Theater Festival, and where the work goes from there will take care of itself.
Mandy Greenfield is our guest. She is the artistic director at the Williamstown Theater Festival, which opens their 2015 season on June 30th and will run throughout the summer. You can find out more information by going to WTFestival.org, WTFestival.org. As far as the, I guess this was something I was thinking about when you were talking about Off the Main Road, that there was a time that would have been on the NECO stage. The new work, well, okay, that's where it's going to go on the NECO stage, but you're putting it front and center on the main stage.
And don't forget, in between Off the Main Road and A Moon for the Misbegotten is the world premiere of a play called Paradise Blue,
right,
by a writer named Dominique Morisot, directed by, as you said, Tony Award winner, very elegantly, by the way.
Thank you.
Ruben Santiago Hudson. And so,
who has a great familiarity with the festival
and is
a wonderful talent.
Agreed.
Yes.
And so I guess that is a convoluted way of answering your question, which is that, you know, I chose to put the plays where I felt the plays wanted to be. You know, these theaters, these two theaters, our NECO stage and our main stage, are exquisite. They are absolutely beautiful theaters. And they also have different demands, right? And so, you know, when I programmed the season, I was really looking to sort of what each play wanted, seemed to need, seemed to want in terms of the space and the relationship to the audience and the experience overall, and less about kind of hard line in the sand, you know, revivals go here or new work goes there.
Right. And it stands to reason that if you have Audra McDonald coming into town, you put her in the bigger house.
Sure, I'll give you that one.
Okay,
I'll give you that one. I'm not going to fight you on that one, man.
It's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So let's talk a little bit about the NECO stage. As I mentioned, July 1st. Legacy, Eric Bogosian and Jessica Hecht. That is a great partnership, it would seem to me.
I agree. They are joined also by Hallie Pfeiffer and Justin Long. It's a four-character play written by Daniel Goldfarb that Oliver Butler is directing for us.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful piece that started rehearsals last week in New York. They came up yesterday. We had our first rehearsal in Williamstown. It's funny. It's dangerous. It's interesting. And these actors have been unafraid of committing themselves to its development and now its premiere. We did some work on it in the city in the months leading up to our first rehearsal. And these are actors very much inside this play already. So I'm very excited for where they will take us.
Tell us a little bit about Kinship, an American premiere. Cynthia Nixon will be starring in the show.
Yes, Carrie Perloff has written this play. It actually had a world premiere in France in French. So it's American premiere. It's also its English language premiere. Joe Bonney will direct it. It's a three-hander. She's joined by two actors, Chris Lowell and Penny Fuller. It is a really muscular, sexy, interesting play about the pursuit of total happiness and sort of what choices are made or not made, what bad choices are made. as you know, in this case, Cynthia's character pursues what she thinks she believes she's entitled to, which is to be happy and to have it all.
And then, and I find these to be interesting choices, but you do the world premiere of a musical on the NECO stage. Unknown Soldier. What should we know about this particular?
Sure.
Process?
Unknown Soldier. Michael Friedman is its composer, and the world often first goes to associate with Michael Friedman, you know, the bloody, bloody Andrew Jackson
sure.
sound and experience, which is fine because that was a hugely successful piece and one that he and all of his collaborators are terribly proud of. But this piece is actually very different, musically speaking. It's lush, it's melodic. It's composed for five musicians, strings, piano, and, you know, he is originally a cellist. And so the beauty of the music and the specificity of it for strings, I think, will be quite forward. It's a very interesting musical that looks at a family. Specifically, a woman trying to understand her family history. And he's co-written it with Danny Goldstein. It goes back and forth in time between Troy, New York, and New York City. And it's a beautiful, haunting musical that the music is evocative and extremely transportive. And what this woman learns about her history is something she has to wrestle with to sort of understand both her present and her future.
And who is in that?
Jessica Phillips is joined by Estelle Parsons, who, by the way, is also an Off the Main Road. She is one of our resident company members up there all summer. We're thrilled.
Who is, you know,
extraordinary.
An icon. I mean, just amazing.
Icon. And really, you know, for a theater festival that is also so focused on training and really, you know, putting a hand out to the next generation of theater makers, actors, directors, designers, to have Estelle Parsons with us all summer. Or long.
So
this is, you know, it's mind-blowing. I mean, that the opportunity to access not only her talent, but her humanity and her experience is just incredible for these young theater makers. And I'm really thrilled how that's worked out.
And then bring in the Brits.
Bring in the Brits, baby.
Yeah.
I will admit I'm a sucker for British playwrights, particularly contemporary ones. They've got a lot of great ones. We will host two of them this summer. Michaela Cole, who is not only the writer, but also the performer of Chewing Gum Dreams. It's a solo piece in which she plays a number of characters. She is a dazzling talent, both as an actor and as a playwright. And then Mike Bartlett's play, the American premiere of An Intervention, which Lila Neugebauer will direct, and we're doing this really fun thing with where it's actually a two-hander, but we're casting four people into this play so that we have two casts of two. So audiences will be able to see the play twice if they so choose and see how it sort of changes the experience of the play with different DNAs in the roles.
Was that written into it? Was that an expectation
No.
or something that came along the way
No.
in the production of it?
You know, I don't quite know where I got the courage to put this out there, but when I read the play and I sat down with Mike Bartlett last fall, I just kind of pitched him this crazy idea. The text itself lends itself. It's really embedded in the play itself is this idea that who two people can be to each other and the degree to which I as a human being can influence you as a human being is essentially the core question, the dramatic question of the play. And I said to him, you know, it's really interesting to me to sort of test that out and see how different combinations of people change the audience's experience of how we reach each other emotionally and how that can work. And how would you feel if we gave this a try? And he was completely open to it because, in fact, it is sort of what was on his mind when he wrote the play. And it also represents a radical departure from how it was done originally across the pond. So I think for him, it's a real adventure, and he and Lila are doing great work together.
We've been talking about what's going on both at the main stage as well as the Nico stage. And then there's all the other good stuff, too.
There's lots of good stuff.
So you got the cabaret, you've got Lewis Black, and the free theater in the Wand.
We have even more. We have this amazing musical theater improv comedy group called Baby Wants Candy coming this summer. They are brilliant. This is a troupe that does, you know, a 5-week sold-out run in Edinburgh every summer. They are extraordinary. We have Benjamin Scheuer, as you mentioned, the Skivvies, and Lou Black. We have Daryl Hammond coming. There's a lot to take in, and I'm so excited for everyone to be there and have a great time.
And when do you reach, there's always that point in the festival where everything is going, right? All the stages, all the thing, everything is, and that you hit that in about, what, 2 or 3 weeks, something like that?
That's right.
Yeah, and then everything sort of...
It all happens in 10 weeks. It's extraordinary.
That's amazing.
Yes.
It's really incredible.
It's incredible to watch the people I am surrounded by who've been doing this for summer after summer after summer, you know, throw themselves in with gusto and enthusiasm and real true dedication to pull it all off impeccably. It's really been inspiring to be surrounded by the people who've done this before, and I'm excited to do it again.
So who offers you, not that you need it, but who offers you advice? Like who do you seek it
you
from?
You do. Do you want to give me advice?
No, I don't. No, you know what you're doing. But I'm curious of the people who come, as you say, year after year after year. I'm
sure.
Wondering, you know, do they sit on the sidelines and say,
You know, I...
Let her know that that's the door to the bathroom.
I believe, this may be controversial, I do need tips on where to find the door to the bathroom, I'm not going to lie. I do believe that, any good leader has to learn where to seek advice and from whom, and, you know, to surround oneself with, you know, exceptionally smart, gifted, experienced people and learn from them enables me to do the best job I can. And I'm lucky that, you know, in addition to our board of trustees, many of whom have, you know, been with this festival for years and years and years, there is an incredible community surrounding this festival. There are past artistic directors at my disposal. There's this, you know, it's an incredible group of people who you know, have so much invested in this institution and want to see it live and grow and sustain the artistic community in the way that it always has. And I will call upon each one of them to help me do my job as well as I can.
The Williamstown Theater Festival's 2015 season, the 61st for the theater company and the first under the artistic direction of Mandy Greenfield, gets underway June 30th. You can find out more by going to WTFestival.org. Mandy Greenfield, a great pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much.
The pleasure is mine, and thank you, and thank you.
I look forward to working together this season.
As
thank
do
you
I.
so much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.